Welcome to the Death Care Marketing Show.
Most funeral homes think their marketing begins online. I think it begins the moment a family walks through your front door. Before you say a word, before they meet your staff, before the arrangement conference even begins, your building is already telling a story because your building starts speaking long before your staff does. Families may not remember every word, but they will remember how you made them feel. Today, we're talking about the invisible experience that families remember and why the smallest details often build the biggest trust. Stay tuned. It's going to be great. Hi, I'm Mary Barnett, and this is the Death Care Marketing Show. We talk about funeral marketing, strategy, automation, and compassion without the fluff. I've got 37 years of marketing experience, and I'm bringing you the death care thought leaders to share what works, what doesn't, and what is worth doing now. So let's get into it. Today's episode is called The Invisible Experience Families Remember, because most funeral homes think marketing starts online, but really it's the trust that is built in the second a family steps through your door. Because families may not remember every word, but they will remember how your building made them feel. Today's guest, I'm so excited to have it. He's a dear friend of mine. His name is Jonathan Steiner. He's the Vice President of Enterprise and Funeral Sales Worldwide for the number one scent and odor control expert for the death care industry in the U.S. Let me bring him onto the show. Here is Jonathan Steiner. Hey, Jonathan.
Oh, hi. Great to be with you. Thanks. Appreciate the time.
Oh, you're so awesome. So we were talking offline. Jonathan and I have met at conferences, and we've kept up a friendship. And he is really the, as people have called him, the king of funeral home malodor. Why is that, Jonathan? Why people call you that?
Well, it started with a dear mentor of mine. When I got into funeral almost 20 years ago, I met a gentleman by the name of Stephen Tidwell, who is just the recently retired senior vice president, I guess, of marketing and sales. And Stephen and three or four other people from SCI actually taught me the funeral industry. And we were sitting around in his office, you know, fast forward 20 years, and we were talking about a product that I had developed for casket malodor. And Steve said to me, "You're the king of malodor. Okay. Come up with something that gets rid of casket malodor," which is a common problem. And, sure. You know, embalming is great. And people that do it are a very special breed, cut from a very interesting cloth. Yes. And it's an art and a science. And if you do it right, it's terrific. But it's like trying to make a hole in one all the time. You get on the putting surface, but you're not, you know, you could be far away. It could be. And this product helps with extended viewings. And he said to me, you know, it just came out of his mouth. He said, "You're the king of malodor," because of the job that we do in the funeral industry in making these places smell like home. That's what we do.
That's fantastic. That's something actually I failed to share because you told me that you started Yankee Candle 20 years ago, but really it was your passion to bring the wide area of fragrance to the funeral industry. So you partnered with Air Essentials with the home back into the meaning of funeral home, a place of comfort when people need it most. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it's something that I realized when I first got into fragrancing. I was working in the senior living industry. And I went to a funeral home to pay my respects to somebody right down here in Florida where I live. And the place smelled of what I now call the aroma of death. Unmistakable smell that sometimes runs rampant. It runs out of control. I always compared it to like the greyhound races down here where the dogs run after the bunny. They never quite catch it, but they run quick. And that's kind of chasing it all along. And I said, my goodness, I said, this would be the perfect vertical to get involved with. And that was like 20 years ago. I just started with Yankee Candle. And I realized odor neutralizers were part of this thing. And I fell in love with the funeral industry, in love with it, to the point where as I went to school and got myself educated in mortuary science, thanks to people like Steve, who taught me and gave me opportunity to witness and participate and be that little fly on the wall, so to speak, and learn the business from their side of the desk.
Exactly. And I think that's why you're so good at what you do, is that you've really learned it from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we are talking about today, with a problem. People don't realize that there is a problem until it's kind of, like you said, the silent killer. So families really walk in carrying so much grief, stress, sometimes shock. And the first minute they're deciding if they feel safe there. So let me ask you, Jonathan, what makes families tense when they walk in a funeral home?
Well, it's the worst time of their life, you know, right out of the barrel. You know, this is somebody, they've lost a loved one. Now they have to do something about to dispose of that loved one. So now they have to go to a funeral home. What's in a funeral home? Dead people are in a funeral home. I'm going to a place I don't want to go, and I'm going to see other dead people, or I'm going to smell dead people. And it's just, it's in the head. Okay.
Exactly.
And one of the things that I have found with aroma, be it mine or anybody else's, one of the things I found about aroma is the instant untwisting mentally. Ooh. When family comes through the door thinking they're going to smell the aroma of death.
Right.
And it smells like the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. Or it smells just so inviting.
Right.
And it also makes, not only does it put the people at ease and the families at ease, in their mind, they're also thinking, oh, wow, this place smells good. It must be clean. This is a good place for me and my family, you know, from the.
Right.
Thing. And you hear this in all the years I'm doing, you know, these are the things you overhear a lot of the times. And you'll hear people say, they'll go up to the front desk, Mary, and they'll say, hi, I'm here for the, you know, the Jones funeral. And what am I smelling? What is that smell in the air? Yeah. What is that?
Wow.
Oh, it's, you know, lavender, restful lavender, or it's this, or it's one of a thousand we might have. And they start thinking about that. It just, it puts them, it starts to mentally untwist and relax them just to a point where the funeral, it's a great sidearm for the funeral director to have in making his job that much easier. Just by how a little less calm. I mean, I can tell you a quick story if you want.
Yeah.
I was up at the Frank Campbell funeral home a couple of weeks ago in the very cold. And they've been a client of mine since as far back as and Bill Villanova, the president, is again one of my mentors. He, Stephen, and they're a couple that literally helped me and toured me through the funeral industry. And we fragrance the entire building. It's four or five floors. It's a prep room downstairs. We've done some very unique things there. And they just went through a renovation and a brand new lobby, brand new, everything's brand new.
Wow.
And an elderly lady walked in. I was sitting in the lobby waiting to see Bill. There's a little conference room on the first floor that we always kind of meet in, but we have lunch in the casket selection room because it's quiet and there's no phones. But I'm sitting there waiting. Right. And the lobby smells great. It's his signature fragrance, Santal. And this elderly lady walks in with her son. So if I'm going to surmise what was going on, she's probably there to make, arrangements for her recently maybe departed spouse. Or she might be there to make pre-arrangements. Who knows? And the son took her kerchief off, you know, and her scarf and took the coat. And she turned to him and she said, quote, doesn't it smell lovely in here? A couple of months earlier, Cardinal Dolan, when he came for the dedication of that chapel, said, my fragrance smelled heavenly. That was the adjective.
Wow.
And people, when they walk in, it just kind of just distracts, untwists. They ask questions about it. And if you're really lucky and you get the right, you know, crowd, so to speak, when the visitation occurs, you may even be able to present in such a way that would get pre-need business and pre-arrangement business that you never would expect, that like fell out of the sky because Bill Smith came to see Bob Jones, you know, to say his goodbyes, and everything was perfect. The building looked great. It was clean. It smelled great. The whole presentation was terrific, and he wants his to be there too. And with the volume that I do, Mary, that happens a couple of times a year. I'll get funny calls or emails about things like that that happen as a result of the fragrance. But in my training, it's really all about up here and how this can put a family, you know, when they smell something, it's very comforting. There are special aromas that actually feel like they're putting their arms around you.
That is so sweet. It's interesting that I'm getting chills about this because we talked about this as well. Like even like realtors, they'll put cookies in the oven. So when people walk in, they feel, oh, I feel like I'm at home here. And so I love that your analogy is that you want to bring home back to the funeral home, which is awesome.
You know, and there are things that contribute to that, you know, but scent is a small part of it.
Scent is so important. We're actually going to get into the framework today. I'm calling it the Calm Environment Check. We're going to go over that. But before I do, I have a little segment called Did You Know? Because I think it's always fascinating to learn kind of the history of where my guests are coming from and why it's important. So did you know that scent has been a long part of funeral and spiritual ritual? In Roman funerals, incense could be placed near the burial site during laying in state to help with unpleasant odors and part of the rite. In Jewish burial, and of course, I'm not telling anything you don't know, but in Jewish burial, a custom describes in John's gospel, spices like myrrh and aloes were used in burial prep. And in Catholic funerals today, incense is used as a sign of honor and prayer rising. So again, we're not talking about gimmicks. We're talking about something about how a space can help people settle and really feel calm and dignified and safe. So let's get into the calm environment. So this is basically a time where we're going to go through and help funeral home owners kind of go through an environmental check. So as they are deciding, oh, maybe there's some things I'm not aware of. Sometimes too, Jonathan, you'll realize, like you probably are, obviously you're expert at this. Sometimes we get so used to a smell or the environment we're in, we don't notice. But when someone new walks in, they're like, oh, do you have a cat? Like they can smell it, but you're like, oh.
They call it nose.
Yeah, it's nose blindness. I love that. So let's go through the C, the CALM acronym. So C stands for clean and uncluttered. And so when it comes to clean and uncluttered, what are the biggest wins that you can see a funeral home make quickly if they want their environment to be clean and uncluttered? Is there some quick thing they can scan through and decide how they can fix that?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you because of how many funeral homes I work with, over 6,000 across the United States and growing all the time.
Wow.
Both corporate as well as independents. I visited many of them and many I do visual, you know, with COVID, we started to get into this whole technology with video calls and things where instead of me getting on an airplane and flying to Denver, the gentleman in Denver or the gentle lady in Denver can literally FaceTime with me and walk around and say, here's my prep room. You see how this door goes into this part. Yeah. And it's like I'm standing right there, just like
that's
I'm
fantastic.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're in California and we're on opposite coasts.
Right.
And it's like next door to me. One of the things that I have seen in recent time is more of the decor, like in other words, less clutter for sure. Some love the old standard type of furnishing with large couches and drapes and, you know, it's almost ballroom-esque, like, you know, just
Victorian almost.
Yeah, Victorian is a great adjective. And then many are now opting for a lighter, cleaner, more illuminated areas as opposed
more modern,
to
modern.
Yeah,
sleep.
Much more. Okay. Case in point, I just did a location down here in Clearwater Beach that took 5 or 6 air conditioning, you know, HVAC units, big place. And it's one of the, what I would call a premier collection location, like a Frank Camp. Okay. Like a George Lewis.
Sure.
And I remember it when it was the old days, because I've been providing right. service there for a long time. We just modernized everything when they modernized sure. the building. And they went from sure. the dark and the macabre, let's say, to
right.
a much more celebration of the life, as opposed to sitting there, the mourning, you know, dark purple. That all, to me, is, right. you know, funereal. You think about those colors as being funereal. But a sure. lot of the locations lately, I've seen when they renovate, mm-hmm. they don't renovate old world, so to speak. They renovate new, right. you know,
interesting. And okay.
it's new paint, it's new color carpets, it's bigger sure. windows. It's, you know, it's just
yeah, more light.
Light in, yeah, to it.
Yeah. I think that also attracts the younger audience, because that's something, you know, as the younger generation comes up, they don't like that heavy, dark, as you said, the
nobody,
look.
Nobody wants to be in a funeral home except the owner. And sometimes he doesn't even right. want to be there. Okay. But, but you know, and to me, like I, you know, I've told you before, to me, anyone that works in the funeral industry is cut from a very special cloth in life.
They're it's very sacred work for sure.
They're very special people. Somebody has to kind of do it, because we all die. Okay.
Right.
But
I've heard we're not getting out of this world alive. Is that true?
Well, listen, I'm just going to enjoy. I love what I do. I love when I set up a demo somewhere. Okay. Where they've renovated. Okay.
Right.
And the very first family that comes in says, it smells great in here. Or the head funeral director, who was out on lunch when we set the machine up and walked in an hour later to an environment that an hour before smelled like a funeral home, now yeah. smells like the perfume counter at Bloomingdale's. But it's not
sure.
overwhelming.
The Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not
an And I like something you said. Yeah. And you said also earlier, I wanted to bring this up, that someone can actually have a signature scent.
Oh,
so this
sure.
is something that they would have in all of the locations of their different spaces, but also something that they could even give out as a gift, like a little
candle, reed diffusers.
That is fantastic.
I point to Frank Campbell in New York, who taught me not only the very upscale funeral business from start to finish, but
sure.
the marketing of his location in the community
right.
he's in, and how he gets involved in other activities, book clubs and symphonies and musical guests, and he uses his chapel and he gives away little reed.
As a community event location. I love that.
Right. And now somebody has a little reed diffuser that cost him like basically nothing. And right. with his name on it, that somebody's going to put in their house. And
right.
I mean, you know,
yeah, it's perfect. It's excellent marketing. Excellent.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah,
move to the different. A. Oh, no, it's okay. I'm going to do the A in calm, which is acoustics. So again, sound and silence. Is there, you know, sound also can help people settle or make them want to escape. So do you notice anything about acoustics, hallway noise, music, TV, or silence?
I've noticed. Yeah. I've noticed most of the locations don't have music playing other than maybe in their office at an off time, unless okay. a family, you know, requests it, Mary, you know, some kind.
Okay.
I have seen some interesting, you know, now music plays a big part in a service.
Sure.
Whether it's live music, recorded music. A dear friend of mine, Ben Fonstrom from Impact Partners, when he was with a company prior to that, and I was trying to sell him our scenting product, one of the things yeah. that he put together, and which I thought was like amazing, I'd never seen this before. A gentleman had passed away. He was an avid golfer. He was literally buried in his favorite golf outfit. Okay. and there were golf clubs, and they had the smell of fresh cut grass.
Piped, oh my gosh.
It is true. Piped into the chapel area and viewing area. And during the service, they had like a flyover of his golf course. You know, he was a country club guy. So
sure.
they did kind of a helicopter, kind of a, you know, each hole where he was actually going to, he was going to be cremated after this. And he was
okay.
he wanted to be scattered at his golf club. And oh, wow. In the service and in the presentation, there you were sitting in the chapel, almost from the pilot seat of the helicopter, you know, with this like grass aroma. It was like you're out on the fairway. And
oh my gosh.
I think that it just showed how simple a couple of senses, visual, can completely elevate the presentation. You know as well as I do. And I just heard about this, and I talk about it all the time because I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Imagine the people that actually saw it.
It
could be 10 years old. They're still talking about it.
Oh, of course.
Because of the uniqueness of it. And I think that, there's a lot you can do with aroma, but the way it plays on the brain to me is...
It's just absolutely amazing. Yeah. In fact, I grew up in Anaheim near Disneyland. So, of course, that's the center of the universe for me. And you're near the world. But there's a ride called Flying Over California. And that's a big part of it. I think of you. Last time I was there, I was thinking of you. Because when you go over in the olden days, when it was still California here, they would go over the orange groves and the smell of orange, fresh oranges, which brings me back to my childhood. Because in the behind my neighborhood was an orange grove that we used to play in. And then when you would go over another area with the sequoias, they would pipe in like the pine tree smell. And it was like, oh my gosh, like you felt you're really there. It's like almost like a complete immersion program.
Scent can do that. Again, regardless of who provides it, scent can tell a story. Help tell a story, and can also set an environment. Okay, I mean, people that holiday time, people lose a loved one at holiday time. I mean, no time is a good time, but at holiday time, it's even worse. And they walk into a funeral home, and it smells like Macy's. You know, it's got that department store smell of cinnamon and holiday, candle and that kind of stuff, and holiday spice and clove. Or wintergreen or evergreen or something. Yeah. I mean, there's a million different ones. That's how many of my funeral homes in the South Belt, you know, Georgia and Florida go completely west along the bottom, Texas, Arizona, Southern California, grab that. You know, celebrate at holiday time. Those are the warm areas of our country. And a lot of my locations change out their aromas to make it smell like Christmas. In the worst,
I love that. Well, that kind of brings us into the L of calm, which is lighting, a warmth and softness. So lighting is huge, but it can also be, it can be either comforting or clinical. Is there a simple lighting improvement that you think makes a big difference when you walk in, since you have so many funeral clients that you would know about? Is there anything about lighting that you recommend?
Well, in keeping with renovations and stuff, many chapels are going with stained glass or glass type windows to let more light into the chapel as opposed to the dark and macabre.
Right. Okay. Oh, I love that.
Stained glass windows cast beautiful shadows, especially, in a bright sun. If the building is, sited properly, it can be subdued, it can be, the aroma can match that mood and vice versa. You know, a guy may say, listen, I've been here for three generations and this works for me. This Victorian feel works very well in this community. I'm third generation. Right. Nobody knows their community and their demographic better than the guy that's known as he's the mortuary guy. He's the mortician there.
Right.
Wherever he shows
up. Exactly. And when you...
any restaurant, there's the guy, it's...
Yeah. Works. Yeah. Which is so important. It's so important. And that brings us to the M and calm is mood cues. So obviously scent is huge in creating a mood because little things, like you said, people feel more than they notice. So what do you feel like, obviously scent, but temperature, freshness, even spaces from room to room, do you feel like the scent needs to be continuous throughout the different rooms, or should there be a different scent for different rooms?
The only different scent, in my opinion, the only different scent should be the one that's used in the prep area, not in the prep room. Mm. In my training, we liked it all naturel and we let the exhaust fans do the work. Where the pre or post embalmed body is casketed, dressed, hair, nails, cosmetics, etc., dressing.
Sure, sure.
Okay. That leakage, you know, especially when they're opening the door and cleaning and doing stuff, that can waft out into the area. That's why I'm a big
the smell believer. Of death you talked about.
Yeah, that yeah. aroma. Yeah, the way to stop malodor is at the source, and that's really what right. I do. Okay, the rest yeah. is of comfort.
Right.
Yeah, it was nice. I didn't smell any dead. You know, it smelled really great in it. It smelled like one of those hotels. You know, and they start talking amongst each other. The yeah. greatest success I have that I've seen and heard about is when one of my odor neutralizers is used throughout the entire location. And when I say odor neutralizers, most people think, oh, it must be like ammonia inside. No, these things smell. It's a Crayola box of blossom and floral and or citrus or whatever you want.
Right.
If I just said, hey, try this green tea lemongrass, which is a spa fragrance. They also use it at the Delano Hotel in Miami Beach as their brand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I said, go smell this. Okay.
Right.
These are fragrances that smell amazing, that are odor neutralizers as well.
Wow.
But you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. Okay.
No.
Well, my favorite, pure sunshine. This is what I use.
Oh,
in my
smelled house. That. That is, yeah. It smells like pure sunshine. I love that.
That's what I had at the conference that you and I attended in California.
Yeah.
That's what was playing there. It's an odor neutralizer that smells like standing in a fresh fruit market.
That is wild. That is wild. Well, this comes to the next segment, Jonathan. You're moving us right through. I love it. Is the execution checklist. So when we're going to kind of go through really quick, fast things that we can help people fix. So restrooms, let's start with that because that moment matters as well. Is there anything that they should do in restrooms that would make people feel comfortable besides it being super clean?
Well, of course, that goes without saying, but getting back to using fragrance throughout the whole funeral home, the same fragrance. Many of these odor neutralizers that I've created over the years, specifically for funeral service, are not only used in your lobby or your chapel or in a viewing room or an arrangement area, but also in the washrooms because they're odor neutralizers. The continuity of having fragrance, no matter kind of where you went, gee, the whole building smells clean. People in their mind right out of the barrel when they smell fragrance are going to think the place is clean. It's just what they think. And wandering throughout. And my greatest group in one of my large corporate accounts has a Latino group with about, I think we do about 235, 40, 50 locations, primarily in the Latino belt, South Florida, South Texas, Arizona.
Sure.
Southern California, right across that, very well-known group. And we work together and we use white tea, which is an odor neutralizer, as their brand fragrance for all of their locations. All 200 of them have our product. They all smell the same. Because if they have a prep site on site that's leaking, we know where it's leaking. We now have that covered in the prep room, but the white T-O-N, if anything even drifts out, is covered by the ON and just smells like white.
Right.
And so no matter where you wander, ladies' room, men's room, arrangement room,
it's
like all over the place. It would be like if you could run it through the air conditioning system, through HVAC, which we do a lot of in larger locations, where you have one giant air handler on the roof or on the side with a big blower that's covering the entire lobby and half of the chapel. You put one of the units in a special housing up there and you're covering every place there's a vent. You've got aroma coming out. Great coverage.
Interesting. Well, you mentioned too, like lingering odors with dignity and seasonal adjustments and that you don't want to overpower anything. So is there a line between fresh and too much?
Sure.
People like overdo it, like they put candles in every room and it's just like, oh my God, that's overwhelming.
Well,
so how do you help with that?
First of all, candles are a fire hazard, so you don't want to go with them. It's the same with the Glade plugins, because after they burn out and burn out through their oil, all you're doing is having something plugged into your socket that's heating up with no oil to heat. Could backfire, could fire. That's why when you pull it out from the socket, you see a little brown ring around it. That's because it got so hot, it started to heat the plastic up. That's a fire hazard. Candles, same way.
Yes.
Over, you know, on a drapery or something, and the whole place goes up. We cold diffuse all stuff. It's a little bit, you know, different way to do certain things. But control of the amount of vapor and aroma that comes out of the machine is key. Now, the other guys.
And you have an app. You have an app for that, right? Like you have a way that you can actually
technology,
set it up.
We decided to get ahead of technology a little bit. And I did that in consultation with the big boy, so to speak, because we wanted the funeral director to focus on the prize. Okay. And not on spraying and wiping and doing all crazy stuff. These machines that we have, that we created, are controllable down to the second. In the old days, it was you put the cartridge in, low, medium, high, and a timer. So you really, it was either blowing hard at you or not. Our stuff, it's a constant aroma from the minute you put the bottle in until it runs dry. It's at one level until you move it on the app. Everything is wireless in today's times. So you put this machine up on the wall, okay, and you control it from your cell phone, right from where you're sitting in your office, turn it up, turn it down, turn it off, do what you want, find a happy spot for it. We kind of know, with so many in service, we kind of know where the settings have to be. And when I look at your lobby, let's say, Mary, and say, oh, your lobby is, there's the reception desk, there's a couch. I would say, what, about 800, 900 square feet? Okay, so I set the machine at that. It may not be enough. Right. But it gives the owner a chance to get on the app and play with it and learn how to control it, find out where it is. And if it's too much, you turn it down right from the app.
Sure.
I always try to under, it's easier to turn it up than it is to turn it down. I always say that.
Right.
Like, you know,
for sure.
You know,
for sure. Exactly.
And having an app and the technology to be able to do that and larger fill bottles now so that, With our,
they last for a long time.
Yeah.
Didn't you say one bottle lasts for how long?
Yeah. Well, if you have just an example, typical funeral home, a lobby, chapel, arrangement room, or viewing area, maybe a smaller chapel, maybe a smaller family type of room, offices, embalming, etc. I always thought that focusing on the prize was important, and not to be thinking about this. So we went from, we basically doubled the size of the bottle of oil in the unit to almost just shy of a liter of oil, which is a big bottle, but it's wide.
Yeah.
And it fits into, you know, our workhorse unit so that you only change the oil from the initial fill once a year.
And oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And that's running it 12 hours a day, 8 in the morning till 8 at night, 7 days a week. Yeah. You get about it. You'll get oil shipped to you automatically in about 6-7 months. Yeah.
And, that's fast. I was thinking it was going to be 6 or 9 months. That was a long time to me, but a year.
Well, yeah. So in other words, you put your first bottle in. The next time you'll change it is 6-7 months down the road. Okay. It'll finally run out in about 6-7 months. It just depends on how hard you run it or how you change it. But we know based on the settings. So we send the replacement oil to it about 3 weeks before that one runs dry.
Sure.
But
sure.
When you get our stuff in particular, it's, you know, you have fun with it the first like couple of days, if not week or two, and then life happens when you get back to work.
Right.
You know,
and that's you want them to focus on.
You stop thinking about this thing and then boom.
Right. And that's the beauty. You want to stop thinking about it. Okay. We're going to wrap this up, Jonathan, with the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I know you've shared so many stories along the way, but there are a few stories I'm sure you can pull on. Again, we're not here to shame anyone or name any names, but I want you to tell me a story of something that somebody who did something just right, the good, and then maybe something was bad, like they just didn't edit and you helped them turn around, and then the ugly. So, you know, stay tuned because there are some stories that, yikes, you don't want.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody, Mary, is familiar with the HBO thing, The Mortician, you know, and that's about as ugly as I've ever seen it. Okay. I can honestly tell you that the only bad I've ever seen, I've overheard like an attitude with an attendant or somebody that was, you know, a funeral. You may not even been the director, but somebody I didn't like what I was like hearing. And that's like a one off. Okay. Sure. I can tell you an amazing, I can, you know, and ugly, you might say, well, yeah, you know, there's old furniture in a place, you know, they should, these guys have plenty of money. Why aren't they renovating it? Because it's actually works. It's working from where they are. But I can tell you a good story. Okay.
That,
I can wrap it up with something that, that I relate to. And I kind of went over a little extra special for this. I think we all remember in the airplane crash in at Washington National, where the helicopter flew into the landing plane.
Yes.
About 2 days after that happened and they started pulling the remains out of the Potomac, I got a call from one of my corporate funeral homes in Virginia.
Okay.
Who I have product with and had product with for quite some time. They have my tower models outside of basically every viewing and arrangement area. It just kind of goes down a hallway and it just, the whole place smells great. And they are what I would call a high-end funeral home in Virginia.
Okay.
Todd called me. His name was Todd. He's who I deal with and work with there. Todd Tennant, great guy. Just phenomenal. Said to me, listen, you're a pilot, which I am, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if you know. Yeah, I fly veterans and sick kids for medical treatment on the weekends. Yeah, it's just my
I did not know that.
Yeah, I've done a lot of, you know, airlifts and mercy flights and things like that in my career. But my flying has been reduced to basically local veterans coming in for, you know, Wounded Warrior programs, Agent Orange poisoning, but no matter. So, and
Todd knows for a second. I thought you were amazing before, but wow, you didn't ever share that with me. Like, you're so humble. Thank you, Jonathan, for doing that.
Wow. Yeah, well, if you look at my personal email that I sometimes send you from my Gmail account, you'll see that I'm also the airport support representative for Fort Lauderdale International and Palm Beach International Airport from the general aviation side of things. I like, and this all came as a post 9/11 when people weren't locking their planes and all, and I just retain it. But in any event, Todd said to me, we have the remains. We just picked up the remains of a father and son who were on that plane. Okay. And we had the family in and they were talking about having like a lilac kind of aroma. That the son loved lilacs or something. He was a skater, you know, these were skaters and things. And it was a father and son. And he says, do you have a lilac aroma that we could use to kind of put the home back in funeral home? And I said, Todd, you have three towers in there. I'm going to send you a 550 milliliter bottle, which is roughly about a bottle this size. This is 700. It's a little bit bigger, but and I'm going to put about that much oil in it to each machine so that you can run it well before they get there. You know, you'll have like literally almost a month's worth of oil in there, maybe.
Right. Sure.
And I said, and that's on me. God bless you for the work you do for families in their greatest time of need. And God bless those that lost these loved ones. Okay.
Yeah.
I said, that's my give, you know, it's my pleasure. Sure. And we overnighted it because I think the event happened on either a Monday or a Tuesday. The funeral was Friday. The first viewing was Friday. And they laid in the water for probably 24 hours at least before they started to extricate people from the wrecks and stuff. So they were probably had some bloating issues and you know, it probably wasn't pretty.
Especially
to lose a father and a son. And all I kept thinking of the day of the funeral was how my fragrance made this family, that comforted this family and made them almost feel, if they closed their eyes for a second, maybe they were in their own home for a second or just had a comfort level of being, you know, consoled, you know, by vapor.
Right.
Okay. And that reminder, there are a lot of funerals where people use my aromas instead of flowers. Because flowers tend to die, the water gets smelly, you know, on an extended viewing.
Sure.
and utilizing, yeah. you know, having a couple of bottles where you can just kind of change them out and change the aroma. You want roses, you want lilacs, you know, a little bit, you know, you have a bottle right. of whatever, you make the whole room smell like this sitting in a flower shop.
Wow. Yeah, so they could use silk flowers and just bring yeah. in the scent that won't ever smell. Wow.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that good story. That's the good. I always remember not only doing good, but I always felt that Todd and his team there did. Listen, any funeral has got its sadness to it, but I think right. there might have been a smile or two there. You know, and I think when they walked in and they smelled the lily or lilac or whatever it was at the time, that it comforted them. And that did me good, you know. And I think Todd kind of almost went up and above board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that he made the call and he wanted to make it that much special. I think that is what's special.
It was very special, Mary. Very.
Yeah. And funeral home owners on the whole are the most kind and compassionate people. That's where they go into the business. They have a heart. I feel it's a calling.
You know, it's part of that.
Quality. Yeah.
My only regret is that I didn't get stitched in 40 years ago. That was only 20 years yeah. ago. I would have loved to have had a parallel path in funeral of some kind, you know.
Right. It's never too late, Jonathan. Never too late.
Well, you know, listen, I like what I do. I love what I do.
Yeah.
I love it when I get a call, and I get a call, I get something, text something. Okay. Love your stuff. Rock star. You know, I get like little blurbs and things about things that when it all comes together. Okay. And that family comes through that front door the first time.
Yeah.
And they think they're going to smell death, and it smells so calming that for a second they forget what the hell they're even doing there.
Right.
And it just kind of takes over. That's why we do a lot. You know, I mentioned to you about those reed diffusers and things. I do candles also with the increase in cremations lately, you know, obviously flip-flopping with burials, traditional burial.
Sure.
I do a lot of candles for like remembrance services or they.
Right.
Billy was a great guy and his favorite fragrance was, you know, lavender or something. And here's a lavender candle with Billy Smith and his birth and, you know, like on the glass, you know, things like that funeral homes do.
Exactly.
Which
brings it back to the marketing, because that's something that they can either the reed diffuser with their signature scent
there's sprays there, you know, there are things. Some people love the remembrance of it. Some people don't want to be remembered on it. It's a lovely takeaway. They're not that expensive. Candles are more so than the reed diffusers, but it's, you know, if you're putting together a full blown funeral, you know, a candle is not going to upset the balance, but it'll be something, you know, and I always say, and I tell you this all the time, you know, you can look from a man's point of view, you can look at a beautiful woman in a gown. Okay. And the dress looks terrific. But if the lady is wearing a perfume that is so intoxicating, you'll smell it with your mind. 10 years from now, you'll say, "Oh yeah, Mary, yeah, I remember that girl. She was that." But it'll come right back to you because the scent.
Exactly. I still smell my mom. My mom passed 20 years ago, and she wore a signature scent. And then when I walked through, I was like, oh, "I feel like my mom is right there with me." Well, listen, Jonathan, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure, Mary.
This has been such a great conversation.
Yeah.
For people to find you, I wanted to make sure if you're listening to the podcast, I want to make sure they can find you. Your direct number is 561-644-2023. Your personal email is Jonathan, Jonathan, at airessentials.com. Their website, of course, is Air Essentials. We'll put that in the show notes as well. But what I love about this conversation, Jonathan, is that it reminds us that marketing isn't only online. A huge part of trust is built into the building. Dignity, and the details families feel before anyone says a word. So I want to thank you, Jonathan, for sharing your wisdom, your experience, your expertise in this field. I think it'll bless a lot of people with it. So thank you so much for being a part of it.
God bless you for the work you do. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time today.
You're so welcome. And thank you for listening, everyone, to the Death Care Marketing Show. Come back every week as we're going to be sharing more thought leaders in the funeral space. death care industry, because we really want funeral homes to win and this be of service to them as well. So until next time, thanks for joining us at the Death Care Marketing Show.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Bye.